So, we are looking at the crossing of the River Jordan. Now, did you see that amazing story? Now, what you have to imagine is the Thames River. Do you remember the river by us? The Jordan is about as wide as that, okay? And you know when it's about to flood and it's going really fast? That's what was happening. And there were these millions of people wanting to cross the river without a bridge. And what they had to do is, what did they say on there? How did it open? What did they have to do? Anyone remember, Eve? The priests had to stand in the middle. So they had to carry something. Do you know what they had to carry? They had to carry, yeah, Kyla? The special box, yeah, we got the next image, David. They had to carry the special box called the Ark of the Covenant. And this was the box where God was present. He said he'd be present with them. Now, it probably was actually covered as they carried it, but it was the box. And in that box, it reminds us that this box points us to where the presence of God is for us, and that's the person of Jesus. And they had to carry this box, and as they stepped into the water, what happened to the water? It parted. It stopped. And it parted. And as they walked through, they carried the ark, which reminds us of the presence of God, which for us reminds us of Jesus, and they stood in the middle of the Jordan. Imagine that river, the Thames, suddenly as you stepped into it, parted, and then everybody could run across it. And they stood in the middle, and everybody crossed through. Because the ark reminds us of what Jesus can do. We'll come on to that in a minute. But then when they got through, do you know what they had to do? What they had to do is they had to choose 12 people, and 12 people, one from each tribe, they had to go to the middle of the river where the ark was, and they had to pick up... I might need John in a minute. They had to pick up a huge rock. Now, we don't know what size they were, but I think it was this size, because we're told they had to carry them on their shoulder. Now, I can carry this one. I expect it might be a little bit bigger than this one, because most people are probably stronger than me, so this is the only one I could manage. And they picked up these 12 stones, and they carried them, and no doubt, they then dropped them. On the other side of the Jordan, and then they, how do you move them if you can't carry it? Drag it. Do you want to come? Come on, do you want to come? Come and help me. Who else volunteer wants to come? Come on, Jack, you're going to come and help me? Okay, and what they probably did to move it, how can you move it without lifting it up? Oh, watch your feet, watch your toes. Oh, do you want to help? There we are, watch it. They probably rolled the stones. Brilliant, that's heavy, isn't it? Wow, brilliant. You can go sit down now. Brilliant. They probably rolled the stones to where they wanted it. And they... Oh, brilliant. Gosh, strong one there. And they rolled the stones to where they wanted them. Now, what are these stones? And then when they got out, they carried the ark out. And what happened to the waters, do you think? They came back. And all the people. So why do you think they had to carry 12 stones? Why do you think? What was the purpose of them carrying these heavy stones and putting them somewhere? What do you think? Wow, did you hear that? That there might be a reminder. Now, we don't know how these stones were put up. Now, they could have been put up, piled together, or, next slide, they may have been put up in a circle, Or there's some people who reckon they can actually work out where these stones were. And some people, I have no idea, they think their footprint one at the top might be the place where it is. And they put these 12 stones in a footprint. Some people reckon that. We don't really know. But they had these 12 stones to remember what God had done. Now that's very important, isn't it? To remember what God... Are you good at remembering things?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Okay,
I'm going to test you. Okay, let's see how good you are at remembering. Okay, anyone play Kim's game? They tell me the Royal Marines play this game, so here we go. What you've got, you have got 30 seconds to remember all the pictures on the screen. Okay, if you're clever, you do this on your own. If you want some help, you can do it with mum or dad or whoever brought you this morning. Okay, but if you're really clever, try doing it on your own. So you've got 30 seconds to remember all these things, and then we're going to take one away and see if you remember it. Okay, go! Ten seconds left. If we can go back a slide, David. So they don't see the next one either. Okay. Disappear. Oh, brilliant. Okay, now, do you think you can remember them? Okay, we are now going to produce a slide, and you've got to tell me which one is missing. Okay, are we ready? The next one, this is going to confuse David. The two, one down. Brilliant. Which one is missing? Hands up when you first had. The bow and arrow, come out here. The bow and arrow was missing. Do you want to come out? Wow. A bow and arrow. Now, you better not fire it. Can you hold that for me? Just hold it there. There we are. Now, why have I done a bow and arrow? Because this is my Psalm 103, Kim's game. Because the Bible tells us we shouldn't forget, we need to remember. And the first thing Psalm 103 tells us is we need to remember that God forgives what? Forgives us from our sins. Now sin is an archery term. Now if you were aiming for that, if I was aiming for those flowers, okay? Shall we see if I can get them? Is that right, Sean? And if I went like that, oh! And it fell short, we'd say the arrow sinned. It's weird, isn't it? Because it fell short of where it was meant to go. And we fall short of what God has for us. And so, can you hold that for me so we remember? So the first thing we have to remember, like the Israelites, they remembered that God forgave their sins and their doubts in wandering the desert, so God forgives us. So that's the first thing we have to remember. Okay, let's try the next one. Can you still remember what was on there? Let's go to the next slide, see what else is missing. Oh, what's missing, Kenya? We got a few there. Matthew, do you know? A plaster, out you come. Brilliant. The plaster. Here we are. We have the plaster. Because Psalm 103 says we mustn't forget that God forgives our sins and He heals our diseases. That because when the people of God, when they disobeyed God, not good things happened to them. And sometimes they actually got diseases. But the Bible tells us that God stops that happening. Because He heals our diseases. And we're not under His judgment. And that, therefore, that's why as Christians we pray for people believing that He heals some people to remind us that sickness is not part of God's judgment. And sometimes, so when we pray, He heals us. So we mustn't forget, He forgives our... He heals our... diseases. Let's find out what is missing next. What's missing? What do you reckon? Can you remember? Life jacket, come on, can you come out? There we are, brilliant.
Okay, now, there we are. Oh, does it fit? No. Does it fit? There we are. A life jacket. Now, you need a life jacket. Why do you need a life jacket?
Because if you sail both, you need a life jacket to be safe.
Yeah, because if you fall in the water, if you don't have one, and it's stormy and deep, what will happen to you, do you think?
You'll drown.
You'll sink to the bottom, won't you? So you need a life jacket. And that's what would have happened if they'd crossed the river. But actually, God rescued them. And we read in the Psalm 103, He forgives our
sins.
He heals our
health.
Diseases and health. Yeah, heals our diseases. And He redeems our life from the pit. In other words, the bottom of the river. He redeems our life from going against Him. So that's what God does to us.
On my chair, I drew something, and it's really, really important.
Brilliant. You can show me later, can you? That's brilliant. So, okay, that's fine. The next one. What else is missing? Go, I'm distracting you so you forget. What do we reckon, Claudel? A crown. Come on, out you come. There we are, out you come. And hey, can you wear this for me? Therefore, crown. Because Psalm 103 says He forgives our sins, He heals our diseases, He redeems us from the pit, and He crowns us with love and compassion. He crowns us. He fills our life with beauty and compassion and loves, and that's what He does for us. And we need to know this morning that He makes who He loves. Now, the people of God, when they got through the Jordan, they would have thought, God really loves us, doesn't He? He really cares for us. He's always going to be with us. And that's what we believe as Christians Jesus has done for us. He has forgiven our sins. He heals our... He redeems us from the pit. Brilliant. He crowns us with love. Brilliant. Okay, have we got another one? I think there's one more left, is there? What do we reckon? Come on, Eve. Honey. Oh, here we have. We have the honey. We have the honey. Now, if you're clever, you can put it, that's the last one. If you're clever, when I do this fully, at the slide of them all of them have got something to do with Psalm 103. So if you want to work out what the rest have got to do with Psalm 103, they have. But there we have. So we remember that He gives us good things. Now, why do I put honey? Because God said the promised land that God was going to give them as they crossed over the Jordan was going to be a good land because it would be a land flowing with milk and
honey.
And so therefore it's good things. And God in Jesus wants to give us good things. Not just things we need, but good things that we can enjoy life. And so Jesus, Psalm 103 tells us, He forgives our
sins.
He heals our, He redeems us from the
pit.
And He crowns us with
love.
And He gives us
good things.
Good things. And that's Psalm 103. And the 12 stones that the Israelites put would have reminded them. So every time they walked past them, they'd have gone, oh, there's 12 stones. That reminds us that God rescued us. He parted the water. And therefore He forgives our
sins.
He heals our
diseases.
He redeems us from the
pit.
Close fit. We'll get that. He crowns us with
love.
And He gives us
good things.
And every time, and then they'll probably forget that, wouldn't they? And then the next week they walk past the stones and they go, oh yeah, God did that. He was amazing. He forgives us.
Sins.
He heals us.
Diseases.
He redeems us from the
pit.
Yes, brilliant. He grounds us with
love.
And He gives us
good things.
Isn't that really good? And that's why we come to remember. So this morning I hope you don't forget that. So Brilliant, do you want to sit those down? Okay, put those down. That's great. What a great help you were. Now, one way, as Christians, that we remember that, is by coming to church. One way we come as Christians is by actually, do we see any rocks? Do you see any rocks around? But do you know what? Jesus says that we are rocks. Do you know that? That we are his rocks. Did you know that? So actually, when you come to church, I may have put it in the wrong order, David. This is when I want the picture of the people. When we come to church, each of you is a rock. And you go, oh yeah, look at that rock. I remember that God loves them. He forgives them. He heals them. He gives them good things. Oh yeah, that's why we're here. Because God is good. And I've remembered and I've forgotten for 6 days. But yeah, I'm here. God is good. And we are those rocks to remember. Because what we need to know is that these stones, if you noticed, I call them our wonder stones. Firstly, to remind us how good God is and what he's done for us. But they're not the only reason that those stones were put there. Let me read it for you. It says here, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this, are you listening to this? He did this so that all the peoples of the earth, all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So they are there to remind us that we are the rocks, that we are people God has saved. But they're also a witness to the whole world. Now remember I told you, what river was it that they crossed? The Jordan River. Now, a few thousand years later, something else happened at the Jordan River. Did you know that? Now it's great. Chris and Lindy, did you go see the Jordan River? So they just returned from Israel, taking a trip to Israel, and they went to the Jordan River. And no doubt, what do you think they saw when they went to the Jordan River? Anyone got an idea what they saw? Do you know what they saw? Shall I show you? Let's have a picture. This is, I don't know whether it's still like, I've never been. But the picture on the right, can you see what they have there? Can you see? It's a bit difficult to see, not best picture quality. But can you see what they're doing? Can you see, yeah? They're going in the river. And they've it looks like they've put fenced off or they've put barriers and bars off. So people are going into the river. Why do you think they're going into the river? What's happening to them? Do you know? They're getting baptized. Why are they getting baptized in the River Jordan? Why do people like getting baptized there? Any idea? Because someone else was baptized in the River Jordan. Guess who? It's not particularly difficult to work out. Who? Jesus. Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan. And do you know what? Do you remember what happened to the ark? The ark went into the River Jordan and it opened up. And it then came out of the River Jordan and the people entered the promised land. Are you getting as excited as me? I get this is just so incredible. Therefore, these days later, when Jesus came, he was baptized in the River Jordan. Remember, the ark was to point to Jesus. And so therefore, Jesus is that great witness to the whole world because his baptism reminds us that he went to the bottom, he went to the pit, he died, and later, 3 days later, what was going to happen? He came up, he rose again, so his baptism was going to also indicate what was going to happen to him. That though he was going to go to the bottom of the Jordan, he was going to go to the bottom pit, God would raise him up. And it was a witness to the whole world. And so therefore, those 12 stones reminds us that Jesus is a witness to the whole world. And that's why we baptize people. Because Paul's baptism.
And these baptisms we've had recently, and everyone's baptism and your baptism is a declaration, not just to your family and friends, is a declaration to the world that God has saved us, has rescued us, has given us new life. And we rejoice at that because this is good news for everyone. Now, why do you think there were 12 stones? I could only get one. Do anyone know why there were 12 stones? Yeah? For the 12 tribes of Israel. Because it was to remind that this is for everyone. 12 stones for every tribe is included. Which points to this thing that Jesus is for everyone. For everywhere. And so what we are doing coming up this week and next week is we are wanting to pray that God, this witness that God is for everyone will go everywhere. Because when Jesus, after he came out of his baptism in the Jordan, what happened? Anyone know? Yeah. You know everything, don't you? You know everything. Does anyone else know? Okay, well, ask you, what happened?
A dove.
The dove. And what was the dove?
It's a symbol of,
the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came. And when we baptize, we say that when we, Jesus says, believe and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what we remember is we pray that God's Spirit will touch everyone. Now, we're going to watch a short video. And if you don't want to watch this video about what we are doing in this next week or so, you should have come in with a sheet. And we want you to think about where you live. Because God's love is for where you live. The 12 was for all the tribes of Israel. And this message of Jesus is for everyone. So in that stone, you can put where you live. So I live in Cromarsh. So I would put in that stone, Cromarsh. And then you can draw something about the area that you love, that you like. Wow, did you say that? Remember, I called these my witness stones to witness how great God is to the whole world. Now, that passage said, who are God's witnesses now? Not stones. Who are the witnesses now? Jesus says, you are my witnesses. We are the witnesses to the whole world of what God is doing. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And so we are witnesses in all our areas. And what we are beginning to think of as a church is what does it mean for us to be witnesses in these areas where you live? So you can see there's maps all around the church of the different areas. There's Brightwell, there's Wallingford St Nicholas, there's Shillingford and Warborough, there's Cromarsh, there's Cholsey, there's Benson. And we're beginning to think we want to witness to these areas. And part of this Thy Kingdom Come 11 days is we want people to pray for the areas that they live in. And see what it means for us to be a witness in those areas. And what we're encouraging to do, I forgot to bring them with me. We're encouraging you to take a little LED candle. And we're encouraging you to put it in the window. And then we're encouraging you to put an image, a bit of paper we've printed with this image. And we are praying for this community on it. And we want you to do it. And we want all the Christians who live around you, you tell them about it. You give them a light and say, we are praying for this area. And wouldn't it be great to find out all the people who live in your area who are praying for God to change that area? So that's what we're going to be doing. And we're going to encourage, we're going to have the church open from Tuesday all the way to Pentecost Sunday. You can come in 24/7. We'll just give you the code to get the key. And we want you to come in and pray. Pray on your own. Pray as a life group. Pray as families. Come and pray that God's Spirit will make us witnesses in all of these areas. But as you've seen there, not only that, we're asking people to choose 5 people that they want to be witnesses to, that they want to come to know Jesus. And on the other side of the sheet, I've printed out a hand. And you can think, and I put 5 stones there, so you can put in the name of 5 people that you would love to be a witness to. You would love for them to come and know Jesus, to be their rescuer, to know Jesus can forgive their sins, heal their diseases, redeem their life from the pit, satisfy them with good things. And we want you to pray for 11 days. It's only 11 days. At least once a day for these 5 people. You can either do that at home. We're also giving out what we call a prayer map for families and children that they can use, a prayer activity that they can do every day for these 11 days. Because we really believe that if we want God to move in all these areas and in the lives of our friends, it begins as the disciples did after ascension. They didn't just do things, they prayed. And they waited for the Holy Spirit to come on them. And we want to see that happen as we pray for that. Because we are those witnesses. Is that all right? So do you think we can do that? So what I want you to do, I'm going to give you 4 minutes. Okay, 4 minutes. You can either finish off that sheet. There's a few extra sheets at the back, as some of you have found. Or you may just want to try and work out, are there any other people who live near you this morning? Are there other people who live roughly where you are who you could pray for your area and you could encourage them? So do you think you can do that? I don't know how it's going to happen. You could go to look at your map if you want, or you could recognise people and say, and maybe you could say, well, sometime during this Pentecost, shall we all meet up and pray for our area? Perhaps you could do that. Okay, so let's just take a moment to think and write and pray. And if you want to, just where you are, you can just pray for the area that is closest to you and just pray for that. So you've got 4 minutes to do that together. Oh, so I just wonder, what would it look like for us to be witnesses in each of those areas? What would it be like for us to be a big stone in those areas? And this week, I really want us to pray and think about that as we see what that might mean. I want you to come in. Now, if you've drawn some nice images of your area, what I'd love you to do is when you come in with your family, and hopefully you can drag them in this week, you could stick them up, couldn't you? Or you could go home and draw something that you love about your area, and you could stick it up next to one of these, and we could have lovely pictures of what you love about your area. And if you can do that, that will be great. Because we know that Jesus is for everyone. He's for all these areas. And we want to do that. Because as we come and pray, in prayer, God can work. And in those 5 people that we want you to be praying for, those 5 people we want to be praying for, we believe that God can touch their lives. And we want you to commit that together. Because we believe that as we put our faith in Jesus, as we pray, obstacles can move. In fact, the Bible even says mountains can move, rivers can open up as we pray for Jesus to move. So we're going to stand together and we're going to sing this lovely song. Right. If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. And think about the area that you live and say, we want God to move in that area. Think about the 5 people that you're going to pray for and say, I want God to move in those people. And let's make this happen. I just want us to think a little bit more about these memorial stones, because we read that they were placed at a place called Gilgal. Now Gilgal, they try and struggle to find this place, and they reckon they might know where it is, but they also reckon there may be 1 or 2 places that are all called Gilgal. And what they're beginning to wonder is actually the word comes from the Hebrew meaning to roll away. And so they're beginning to wonder whether actually the name is actually any place where they've built up these memorial stones that they've had to roll into place. Because actually when we read the Bible, we read that they take up, because we read it was called Gilgal, because this is where God removed the shame of Egypt. Now, what's that got to do with Gilgal? They rolled away the shame of the Egyptians. What's that got to do with? Well, I don't know about you, But if I were an Egyptian and I'd seen the people of God asked to leave so they could enter the promised land, and I saw God make the way through the Red Sea, I would be pretty miffed. And if I were an Egyptian, I would then begin to start laughing. Because here they were, the people of God set free, and what are they doing? They are wandering around in circles in the desert. And the shame of Egypt is that the Egyptians are looking at them and going, God set you free for that? God set you free so you could wander aimlessly in a desert and have to live on bits of bread and occasionally quail that God will provide. And I think, as word got around over these 40 years, they became a bit of a laughing stock to the Egyptians. After they got over the powerful God, they were thinking, this God, and all they got is that. But they didn't, did they? Because these stones are there to remind us that they were rolled into place because God had finally rolled away their shame. They had now, 40 years after what when they could have done it, they had now, at long last, entered the promised land. And we read, as they set these stones in place, they did two things. They circumcised themselves and they had their first Passover meal because they didn't live as they should have done in the desert. But now, in the promised land, with God's provision, they did not need manna anymore. They did not need quail because it was a milk that provided for it, a land that provided for itself. A meal, a land flowing with milk and honey. And their shame had finally been rolled away. And I don't know about you, but I think this is a lovely story for us. Because many of us have become Christians. We put our faith in Jesus, but if we're honest, we're going round in circles. If we're honest, the same things we're struggling with when we became Christians are still the same things we're struggling with. The same sins, the same doubts. And in fact, we're not maturing. We're not living the life that perhaps the Bible indicates we should be. And yet, we can learn that God is not only the God who takes us out of Egypt. He is the God that brings us into the promised land to roll away the shame. That we can live under God's peace and blessing and provision. And that's the message. And these stones, are the stones that remind you and me that the shame perhaps we're living in today is not a shame we need to stay in. But the God who brought you out of Egypt is the God who wants to bring you into the promised land. And it's only through Jesus that the way is opened up. And these stones are there to remind us, stop wandering, stop living on manna and quail. Jesus, through his baptism, through his death and resurrection, has showed us that there is a way in that can remove your shame. There's a lovely verse in Revelation about another stone. I think it will come up, does it, David? Because I can't remember exactly. Revelation 2:17. It says, and to each one who is victorious, I will give a new name engraved on a white stone. What's that about? Nobody really knows, to be honest. Some people think if you're a victor of a game, you got a white stone, which was like your ticket into the after celebration party. Some people think, well, actually, if we know the priests, they wore stones representing the people before God. Could be lots of answers. But actually, the thing that is important for me is it's a white stone with a new name. With a new name. And what we need to know is that God wants to give you a new name this morning. He doesn't want you to live in the shame of the one. He doesn't leave you in the shame of Egypt. He doesn't want to leave you in the shame of wandering around in the desert. He wants to give you a memorial, a new name that you can look back and say, God has brought me in. It doesn't mean that life is easy. We'll see that as we go through Joshua. They had battles, they had Jericho, they had walls, but they were living in the promised land. And God wants to remove our shame that we can have a new name. I love this passage in Isaiah. Next slide, please, David, which talks about the nation shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of God. You shall no longer be named forsaken, and your land shall no longer be named desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married for the Lord. Can you say it with me? For the Lord delights in you. That's the new name. You're not forsaken. You are not rejected. You are not a sinner. You are not under curse. You have a new name. And your name is God delights in you. That's the stone. And whenever the Israelites came past Gilgal and they saw the stones, what were they reminded? God delights in us. He's removed the shame of Egypt. He's removed the shame of being a slave. He's removed the shame of wandering aimlessly in a desert. He's removed the shame. And now I've entered into God's blessing. God delights in me. He's pleased with me. He's for me. That is your new name. And this morning God has said, some of you are living with your old name still. You're carrying around your old name. You think, I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. Think, nobody likes me. Think, I'm forsaken by God. This couldn't be happening if God is for me. You're carrying around your old name and you're dwelling on it and you're living in it. And you're turning inward and say, God can't love me. God can't bless me. God can't use me. God can't help me overcome this addiction. I'm the worst of sinners. I'm terrible. I can't. That's your old name. That's your shame. And this morning, God wants to give you a new name. And as you come to Jesus, the one who went down in the River Jordan, came up and the Holy Spirit came on him, and a voice came from heaven saying, what? This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Do you know what, Paul, Gary, when you were baptized, you got a new name. God came from heaven and said, you are my son, with you in whom I am well pleased. You I love. That's your new name. And any of us who have been baptized, that's your name. You're loved. God's pleased with you. I think you're struggling to believe that. You know what you've done this week. You know what's happened this week. And you find that difficult to believe. But it's got nothing to do with what you've done this week. It's because God's given you a new name and a new stone. So turn to the person next to you and say, now whatever you've done this week, God loves you and is pleased with you. Can you do that for me, please? Because this is so important. Okay, so let's believe this. Let's get rid of the shame, what people have said over us, what we've said about ourselves, what we've said about our faith, and let's start believing that new name. And as you go this morning, I want you to go with something. I've got some white stones. And I want you to go with a white stone. And I want you to put your new name on it. Okay, there's some Sharpies and you can write your new name. And you need to pray and say, God, what name are you giving me this morning? Maybe it's forgiven. Maybe it's loved. Maybe it's delighted. Maybe it's set free. Maybe it's healed. Maybe it's overcomer. I don't know what it is, but as you go and as we worship in a minute, I believe God's Spirit is going to give you a word, a new name. And I want you to receive that new name, and I want you to go out, I want you to take a stone, I want you to write that name on that stone, and I want you to believe it. And I want you to live it. Because no longer are you going to live in shame, no longer are you going to live in defeat, because God wants to set you free. That's a word for some of you this morning, I don't know who, but you need to hear that. And I know an all-age service is not the best time to give words like this, but actually, I needed to. Because that's for you. And you've got to stop living in your old name. Please. Thinking that you're failing, you can't. Feeling that God's not pleasing you. Feeling that what's happening to you is God's judgment on you. Please let go of the shame. Because Jesus has covered it. Because that's what the ark is about. It's covered. The grumbling, the moaning, the past is covered. And you can live your new name. Let me pray and then we're going to worship. And as we worship, hear what your name is this morning because the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Lord Jesus, we hear your word that we no longer have to live under shame. We no longer have to have the same old battles over and over again because Jesus, you have given us a new name. You've removed the shame from us and you say you delight in us. You love us. You forgive us. You've set us free. You've healed us, that we are beautiful to you, that you have crowned us with your love and mercy. And Lord, we just want to receive that new name this morning, that we may hold on to it. And Lord, the problem is, like these, the Israelites needed these stones because they forget, we forget. But this morning we want to write it on that stone so it will be in a place that we will never forget, that ye have a new name. Come, Holy Spirit, minister your truth to us as we worship you. Amen. Let